Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
going to
come.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways on this morning, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that you had a beautiful time on last evening at Mass and various churches that you attended. And I know that God met you there. Hallelujah. And I just thank you so kindly for tuning in on this morning. You that were able to tune in and that are able to tune in, I graciously thank you from the depths of my very soul for being just a continual listener of the Old Ship of Zion. And for doing so, God has got a blessing with your name on it. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good, but I'm saying that because it is the undisputed word of God. Hallelujah. And so I just want to take this podium and this stage, this opportunity to just send condolences out to those that has been devastated by the earthquake in the sector of Japan, I believe it is. And there's some more areas that I don't have in front of me at this time, but that has been affected also. And so we want to pray for those that families of the demise, and also to pray for those that are seeking to be sheltered and those to be rescued. So we want to send condolences out to our family and our friends and constituents out in those areas. And those here in the U.S. that has lost husbands and wives and nieces and nephews and grandparents, colleagues, your health care provider, and just, you know, just numerous of individuals that's in your family circle. We want to send out condolences to you, and to let you know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. Hallelujah. But that you have sisters and brothers and prayer warriors all over the planet that are praying continually 24 hours, 7 days a week, are praying for you and with you and on your behalf. So just know that you are not alone. We as saints of God is supposed to cry with one another in an hour of despair. And when you are in triumphant and you're happy and elated, we are to be elated along with you. So this is what we do in order to follow the commandment of God that he has set out for you and I. And so I just want to say once again, thank you so graciously for tuning in on this morning. And today's date is April the 18th, 2016. We will be with you, presumably, 1 hour. And we're just praying, and we know that God is going to meet us in the program on this morning, because we know that, you know, Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. So we know that Jesus is right here in the midst of you and I on this morning. And so I want you to get your chip and your dip, whatever you want to sip on this morning, your latte, your OJ, just whatever beverages that you have at your disposal. I want you to bring all your digital devices. I call them our toys. So bring all your laptop, your iPhone, your tablet, and just all your digital devices, and bring them aboard, for we are in need of them. And so we want to just go into our intro prayer. We always come across these skyways and acknowledge and reference our Messiah. He's our Rabbi. He's our Lord and our Savior. He is our soon coming Christ that will come clouds one historical day in all of his glory. And the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we all shall be changed. So, you know, just as fast as you can blink your eyelid, that's how rapidly you and I will be changed. Those of you that are living a Christ-like lifestyle, you have to be holy in order to be changed. So the Bible is speaking of those that are living according to his will, his way, and his command. Hallelujah. So we want to just ask those of you that are out there in my live digital audience on this morning to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in reference our Lord and our Christ. I want to present to some and introduce to others this man, the deity that we serve, is Jesus Christ. And we want to come, God, before your throne of grace with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. Thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting, God. A mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are the builder, you are the creator, you are the architect. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue, God, with our hand held to the plow, looking forward, looking onward and upward, coming together before the four corners of this earth from the north, south, east, and west, pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips with clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we won't take your glory, we won't take your praise, but we'll give you all the honor that's due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ, marvelous, matchless name. And we'll let the cathedral of faith believers say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And you can call in at the conclusion of this program and talk with yours truly. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer with you on your behalf, standing in the gap, you're welcome to call in at the conclusion of this program. So now we're going to take you on into a live program that's already in progression. Our message on this morning is an atheist point of view. I want to say that one more time. An atheist point of view. And we're going to read from our first key scripture. Hallelujah on this morning. And it reads this. It says that the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 19 and 9 through 10. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture, and it reads this. It says, hold fast the patterns of sound word, which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Timothy 1 and 13. Then we're going to read our third and final scripture reading. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Proverbs 12 and 22. So our sermon on this morning, talking about truth. God do not want you and I and us to be sitting up in a church, a cathedral, a temple, a tabernacle, a house church, a garage church, a tent on the corner, listening to lying lips, listening to someone that is not telling you the divine word of God, but rather lying to you. So I'm going to go into deeper depths on what I am speaking about on this morning. We are talking about telling the truth to your followers, to your congregation, to your friends, your peers, your family members, those that you come in contact with every day, those that you come in contact with on Sunday morning service, in choir rehearsal. Hallelujah. We want the person to be coming across with the divine word of truth. So we're going to go right now, and we're going to see just what the scripture has to say to the church concerning this very thing. So I'm going to get my lighting, hopefully, and I can get it to where I can see and be able to minister to you on this morning. Hallelujah. And so it says that the elders, it says the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also all they that has known the truth. Now this says, rejoice, I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children, hallelujah, walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have, which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Many deceivers entering into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an atheist, and an antichrist. And so the Bible says to look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Did you hear that? Whosoever transgress and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, He has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the Bible tell you and I, he said to receive him or her not into your house, neither bid him good speed. For he that biddeth him good speed is partakers of his evil deeds. Now there you have it, right out of the mouth of God. The Overseer Ward did not make this up, but this is coming right from the breath of God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us, he said that the relationship among love, truth, and obedience is brought into focus in this letter. The word love occurred 4 times and truth 5 times in this brief admonition against false teachers. John condemns teachings that do not acknowledge that Jesus is both God and man. Truth and love must maintain a continuous partnership. Truth without love, as well as love without truth, can be dangerous. The Bible says that real truth yields a multiplicity of wonderful value, such as justice, goodness, decency, honesty, integrity, sincerity, and righteousness. Yet truth needs love to attain those lofty heights. For loveless truth can become cold, harsh, mean, and oppressive, and destructive. Sometimes you can do more damage with misplaced, poorly timid, and ill-used truth than you can with a lie. All right. Now, the writer says to preach, he says it's to theologize, and philosophize. Said that it may be to sit upon the truth, but not necessarily to walk in the truth. Walking implies action. We must act out our conviction. So God wants us to live out the truth. Preach out the truth. So when you are up in your church, you're on the pulpit and you're ministering, you're bringing forth the word of God. God wants you to preach the truth, and the truth and in love. Hallelujah. God says to act out our conviction. That means to live it out daily, Monday through Sunday, 365, sometime 366 days out of a year. We're told that the post-Pentecostal disciples not only knew the truth and were known by their love, but they also turned the world upside down. John's words can rightly be interpreted as a call to action, perseverance in the face of spiritual warfare. On the other hand, love that is not steeped and girded in truth is seen as weak, overly accommodating and easily influenced without impact or power. Too often in Christian families as well as in the world, we are taught that nice people are weak and strong people are mean. By the marriage of love and truth, who are both nice and strong. And if John were to visit us today in the United States of this America, I wonder what would he be inspired to write to you and I and us. As he traveled through our black and white America, our urban America, our suburban America, our rural America, our corporate America, our civic America, what would he be able to write? Would he be able to write, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father"? Now, that scripture reading can be found out of the law of 2 John, John 4. And this is our challenge. This is our commandment. And this is our prayer and hope that everyone that's standing and identifying yourself as a man, a clergyman, a prophetess, prophet, deacon, missionary, pastor, anything that concerns ministering the word of God, God challenged you and I to preach the word of God. And not just preach it, but preach it in truth and in love. I know I got a lot to cover, so I got to be moving because I know that my clock is ticking rapidly away. So we're going to try to get as much in here as I possibly can, and I want to keep you, you know, entertained, and I want to keep you on point. So just bear with me, because like I said, this time is just moving right along. I hope I don't have to extend it any. That is not what I want to do on this morning, because I want to go and get me a little nap. But anyway, right now, his word is going forth. So we are told that three young men who say that they are atheists decided to sample and report on several churches in their city. One of these men said there is something other than teaching that is appealing to people. We didn't see a lot of doctrine. We're told that the appeal was mostly the community and that the contents of most churches isn't nearly as important as the packaging. We're told that the three atheists offered this explanation of why thousands of people in the area attended church each Sunday. And they said that the attraction stems more from a person's Christian identity than from what the religion teaches. And they said that it was increasing the number of Christians said that they are becoming ashamed to be found unequivocal on the side of truth. They say that they believe, but their beliefs have been so diluted as to be impossible to clear the definition. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul knew whom he believed, and he instructed the young pastor, Timothy, to hold fast to the truth he had been taught. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Timothy 1 and 12 through 13. We, too, need to hold tightly to our beliefs based on the unfailing God-inspired Bible. What we believe about God is more crucial than any feeling we get by being in church. And we are to stand firm on the word of God that lives and we abide forever. Just don't be a Christian in name only. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that searching for insight, and perhaps you are searching and you're looking everywhere for the answer to your longing for truth. You've read widely and thought earnestly about life, but you can't find no answers that satisfy the deep need of your soul. You can read in the gospel, the first four books of the New Testament. As you read, cry out to God for understanding. He will hear you and he will find the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. John 17 and 3. God doesn't force truth on those who don't want it, but he hears the earnest cries of those who request it. As Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 16 and 24. Look not to reason arguments. If God you seek to find, look only to his holy word, for sin has made us blind. We know to find truth, we only need to look to Christ. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. We know that I know we yearn for joyful and creative people who can show you and I the positive side of what we consider negative, who can remind us that just a spoonful of sugar make the medicine go down. Sweeter. We know that David wrote a song that expressed a similar in the words. He said that the judgment of the Lord are sweeter also than honey. That scripture reading is coming out of love, Psalms 19 and 9 through 10. But seldom do you and I hear that truth is sweet. More often we hear that it is bitter or hard to swallow. But truth is so much more than medicine to treat what's wrong. It is the diet that will prevent disease. It is not an insulation or an injection. It is a garment meal that should be presented as a culinary delight, enticing the hungry to taste and see that the Lord is good. We sing Jesus is the sweetest name I know, but some of us present him as if he's gone sour. We know that pure truth, untainted by pride, is the sweetest, most refreshing taste of all to those who hunger for spiritual substance. And we have the privilege of serving it to a starving world. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's just the same as his lovely name. And that is the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The truth of the Lord endureth. Hallelujah forever. Bless his holy name. And the Bible says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Proverbs 12 and 22. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that we are told of some unusual humorous explanations for auto accidents. And we know that we hear many different stories, various peoples of all walks of life. And so we're told that an individual submitted to an insurance company. He said that an invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my car and vanished. He said, I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident. Another said, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. A third one said, the pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. The next one said the telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end. The other guy says that the guy was all over the road. I swerved to a number of times before I hit him. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. We know that these excuses may bring a smile, and some were probably meant to. But they also remind you and I how prone we are to shade the fact, especially when it works to our advantage. We know that the book of Proverbs tells you and I that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So let's be careful at all times to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And so we know that everybody likes a good story. But many people are taking the best-selling novel. And we can even go to the novel about the Da Vinci Code as a historical fact. Central to the book plot line is the allegation that the lost books of the Bible has been suppressed by the church for centuries. We are told that these lost books claim that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and had children with her. This radical misrepresent history, and it is misleading many people. These alleged lost books of the Bible were found at Nag Hammadi, Egypt, in 1945. They deny the biblical Jesus and promote goddess worship, self-deity, and secret knowledge. You might ask, so why did the church exclude these books from the Bible? The answer is because the doctrine did not meet the criteria for authentic scripture. which involved several central questions. Was the writer someone Jesus had chosen as his apostle? Did the Bible have widespread acceptance among church leaders? Did God's Spirit speak through it? We told that the lost books did not pass these tests. All the books that we have in our New Testament did. So when people question the trustworthiness of the scripture, you and I and us need to give them a respectful. It may just make them want to know more about our Bible and our God. We know that God's word is pure. It is eternal, shall yet unshaken stay. When all that man has thought a plan like chaff has passed away. To the wise, God's word is sufficient. So I want you to be sure that when you go into the house of the Lord, may it be a church house, a residential church house, may it be a temple, a cathedral, may it be a tent. Make sure that the person that's ministering to you are ministering to you the divine word of God, coming straight out of the 66 books of this tablet. From its beginning, Genesis, to its conclusion, Revelation. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, you have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Our web address is www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, because he is people friendly. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to bring you a little bit of Hymns of Zion. So we want you to just be encouraged, be blessed. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Accept no substitute when it comes to the truth and the undisputed word of God. Up next, Hymns of Zion. the beauty of the song. It was built by
Yeah. these old days. We're just going to live on at all.
No.
Somewhere where the wicked will see some trouble. And the wind will get rid. I've heard about it. By the police, where the saints won't go. Most of all, can see Jesus.
I'm so glad. So glad I got to release
die, for at thee
at the end of the storm. There is a golden
amazing grace.
Amazing green.
It was.
It was. Thank you.